The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. In a world where the line between right and wrong has become increasingly blurred, it is of utmost importance that believers are able to stand firmly on the Word of God. Stay tuned as Pastor Ben Lawson from Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills in Aberdeen, North Carolina, brings us another teaching from the Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, on The Cutting Edge.
Is anyone in this group never had a mom? Think about that for a minute. Every single one of us, right? It's impossible not to have a mom. And so, yes, today we're going to honor the moms today, not only with a couple of things that we are going to be appreciative to you about, but also a message I think is uplifting. Let's pray. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, moms are very special. You have created them, Lord, with something special from you that us men, we have none of. And God, that's something that is only and can only come from you. And so, God, they're very, very special. Very special. So not only do I want to pray for the moms here today, but all the moms, especially the single moms, they have a hard time of it. It seems like this world has more and more of them. It's sad to say that we, our dads, need to realize that we just don't have what you have given moms. And so, God, we so much appreciate, especially these here. And so, God, there's four things I want to pray today for them, and I know that you will come in like a flood in these four. Number one, God, bless them physically. God, you know, moms, they work so hard, and they have aches and pains too. They carry a plethora of jobs many times. And so, Lord, bless them physically, their health, all that they do. Lord, and then I pray, God, that you would bless them emotionally. Lord, women in general, and especially moms, again, their emotions. That's why they're moms, because they have such a vast array of emotions. Love and all the rest, concern, many times anxious and worry, which we know, Lord, you don't want them to have, but they just seem to have that because they're moms. Father, we also pray, God, that you would bless them financially, especially the single moms. God, they work so hard and receive such small pay, God. Lord, money-wise. And so, Lord, I pray that, God, that you would bless them this year financially. That, God, that they would know it would be from you. Something that would just blow their mind. Bless them, Lord. Provide for them as you say you will. And finally, Lord, we pray a complete, tremendous blessing spiritually. God, that they would come underneath you, that sit at your feet, that they would be exemplary of Jesus' love to their children, to their families, to others. God, that they would know your love and exemplify it, Lord, to the world. And so thank you, my God. Keep them, Lord, keep them. As you say, you keep us. Keep them especially close to you, Lord. Keep the enemy, the world's influence, and even their own flesh from them, God. And so we thank you for them. And God, that you would be honored by them in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. If you'll please turn your Bibles to Mark 14, we will begin in chapter 14, in verse 3. If you're there, give me a hearty amen. Yeah. Jesus speaking, of course, to a fellow there named Simon. It's so hypocritical of Simon. Here he is, a leper, meaning that he's full of sin in the judicial law. Couldn't even go to the temple, but he was a Pharisee. And so Jesus is at his house having dinner, and instead of the man falling on his face and saying, Jesus, please heal me, I'm a sinner, he gets this attitude against this woman. How dare him do such a thing? But you know what? We do that. I mean, not you guys, of course, but mankind, they do that. They're so full of sin, they're so blinded of sin that they don't even see their own sin, but yet they point their finger at someone else that has little sin. And so this woman comes on the scene as Jesus is in Bethany having dinner. We'll pick the story up in verse 3. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, now this sharply, I looked it up in the original language, it was brutal. They were brutal to her. But Jesus said, leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has done what she could. Circle that if you're a note taker. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Wow. I got that in my Bible here. Wow. Did you hear that? Forever and ever and ever, this story will be told of Mary. My message is called Faithful Women, a Mother's Day Message. Faithful Women, a Mother's Day Message. When looking for examples in the scriptures of faithful servants of the Lord, we most often, don't we, look at men in the Bible, most of the time. But today, oh, today's different. On this very special day that we honor mothers, I want to focus on some faithful women that we see in the Word of God. Maybe you know them, maybe you don't. You know, all throughout history, women have been the unsung heroes, I believe. They go about their never-ending daily task, usually getting very little recognition or gratitude. But the truth is, without the faithful servants of women, even in this church, caring for their husbands, their children, for one another, most of our lives would come to a chaotic and grinding halt. I know mine would. I counted how many times I asked my wife this morning for things. I kind of figured it up as I was going. I didn't tell her about it. I just kind of figured up what was going on, you know, and how many times she got my clothes ready and she got my coffee. I said, this is Mother's Day. I should be doing that stuff. Or actually, her kids should be doing that stuff. But then I lost count of how much, not including our little dog's needs. I mean, they take care of everything. She cleaned the house. Her father's coming to see us, visiting today, and she's doing all that, and I'm just amazed about you, how you women just go about your business, doing your thing, almost in secrecy. But that in reality, if you just quit, chaotic, grinding halt. So with the time that we have left together this morning, let us examine some of the deeds, acts, done by faithful women in Scripture. And as we do, let them inspire us today to appreciate the works of our own mothers and motivate us to great acts ourselves. Number one, if you're taking notes, if you're a note taker, simply jot it down like this: a woman's act of love for the Savior. A woman's act of love for the Savior. We read it, the text in which we read, told of the woman Mary, who anointed Jesus with precious ointment and washed his feet with her tears. If, again, you're a note taker, there's another account, a little more specific, told in Luke 7, 36 through 50. Read that sometime this afternoon. It's an awesome story again. Because you see, gang, Mary couldn't do much. We don't know why. We know that Martha could do much. Remember, Martha was the one, the homemaker that was cooking and cleaning all the time. Mary couldn't do much. We don't know why. Throughout Scripture, it doesn't tell us. It just told us that she loves Jesus tremendously. We know she was full of sin at one time, and maybe because of her sin, outwardly or inwardly, there might have been some sickness. Because you know sin kills, steals, and destroys. It's from Satan. And eventually it'll get its way by killing us. And so we don't know, but we do know Mary couldn't do much. But her heart was so full of love for the Savior that she did what she could to show her love for him. You see that scripture I told you to write? She did what she could. That's just awesome. I know moms do that. Mark 14:8 tells us the inside story here when Jesus said, she has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. She did what she could for Christ. You know, moms, whatever you can do, I have noticed in moms, they do as much as they possibly can, and then some. Luke 7:47 gives us even a greater insight. Speaking to Simon the Pharisee, Jesus opines with, therefore I say unto you, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Did you catch that? See, Mary had a lot of sin in her life at one time. Some people say there was a plethora of demons. But you see, because most of us know that when our sins are forgiven much, man, we have great grace for others. I see that in moms. You know, they just have great grace for their kids, great grace for their family. And they just, you know, God just forgives them. Because why? Because moms love Jesus. Christian moms do. And so moms, one of the greatest example throughout your whole life you can portray to your children and spouse is to love Jesus. Guaranteed they will see the fruit. In my own life, my mother didn't graduate from high school. Almost, but she didn't. She did go back years later. I think she was the only 60-year-old senior in the class, but she did finally get a degree. And you know, the thing that I know, and my mom is slipping tremendously. And so I would ask that you pray for it like you would other moms that are slipping. And the one thing that I could say about my mom today is that she taught me Jesus. Every single day. She exemplified Jesus. The way she served her husband, the way she served her family, the way she served her grandkids, the way she always had loving things to say. Now, if in her earlier years, if you'd get raspy with her and disrespectful and smart off to her, she had the quickest hands in the East. She could slap you, you wouldn't know where it came from. Where'd it come from? Was that mom's hand up against the face? But she loved us kids. She loved and loved. And the most thing that she did was to show her love was for us to see how much she loved Jesus. Always in her word. Always have us in church, you know, every Wednesday night, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night. I did, you know, Walt Disney used to have a Disney show that come on every Sunday night. I didn't know that. I was in church. But she taught me the word. She taught me Jesus. Man, I thank her so much. You know, I know that my God, my Lord Jesus, is responsible for my salvation, but she sure applied that to me and my brother and my sister. And so, the best thing you can do, moms, is to love Jesus. And your family will see this. So our life application question for us today, like Mary, do we have a genuine love in our heart for our Savior? And what can we do for Him to show Him our love? Two great questions that we would ask ourselves in light of Mary's love for her Savior. I'll tell you a story that Dale Irwin tells. It's in one of his books, The Jesus Style, I believe it's, or one of the other style books that he wrote. But he had said there was this man named Jake, and he had a family, and his wife loved the Lord and took her family to church and every single day. But this man hated church. He wanted to beat up a deacon once or twice. He threatened to. And every time she'd cook something or a pie or something, then she'd have to sneak it out the back door into the car, you know, for like a social at church. And he would go out and get the pie. You're not taking any food to church. He let her go, but he was just brutal. And so this went on for years and years and years and years. And finally, Jake shows up at church. Well, all the deacons hid. He was a great big guy, you know. And so he's sitting in church, and Gail noticed he was sitting right there in the front row. And Gail said he preached the longest, the best message he ever preached about salvation. And so at the end of it, yes, Jake got up and came up and got saved. Well, afterwards, they had a social, and he asked Jake, he said, Jake, let me ask you something. I'm a young preacher here, and I just wanted to know, what did I say, what did the scriptures reveal to you that caused you to get up and come up and ask the Lord into your life? He said, preacher, nothing. Matter of fact, if you were to win another minute or two, I would have walked out. He said what it was the years and years and years of persecution that I put upon my wife. And I saw her as one of the best mothers and wives and women ever because she loved Jesus. Gals love Jesus. Number two, if you're taking notes again, a woman's act, a sacrificial giving. And that story is recorded in Mark 12. I will read it for you. It should come up on the board. Most of you know this. Now, Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. That would be about like me sitting at the tithe boxes as you guys walk out. Looking at you, wouldn't it be nuts? It's a little nutty, isn't it? But that's what they did back in those days at the temple. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which made a quadrants. So he called his disciples to himself a great teaching time. You know, Jesus always, when he saw a teaching time, he jumped right on it and he used it. I think we all should learn from that itself, but he called his disciples in to himself and said to them, surely I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury, for they all put in out of their plenty or out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. Wow. Could you do that? Could you go to the bank and draw every penny out? And go get you all your piggy banks and all those little things I put my change in every day when I come home from work. And all that. And you just, you know, and just get and just. To be honest with you, I couldn't do that. She did. Well, Jesus here in Mark 12 teaches us that the woman did not have much to give, but her heart was full of generosity. Most moms are. When it comes to their kids, they'll give literally the shirt off their back. They'll work several jobs. In fact, this lady, she was willing to give all that she had. Although she is unnamed in Scripture, this lady is a great example of sacrificial giving. Moms usually are sacrificial givers. Do you know that? From conception. From conception, I can remember. My wife, you know, honey, I'm pregnant. Oh, that's great, honey. Yeah, it's great. Then she comes to me about 8 months later and says, look what you did to my body. You guys know, right? It's sacrificial giving from the get-go. You know, you get sick. That's the first thing you do. You get sick. Is that sacrificial? I don't want to get sick every morning. Or whenever you smell sardines. I love sardines. Not when I was pregnant. No, 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 no. And so, moms, you start to give right from the get-go. And it continues all the way until you die. It just does. Sacrificial giving. You know, some kids don't grow up until they're 80. I don't know. When do they finally start giving back? I don't know that question. I just don't. Check this out. Solomon. Proverbs 31. We usually do that message here, but because we've done it for like 16 years in a row, I thought maybe I might change up a bit. But something I realized in that area of Scripture is that Solomon is talking about his Proverbs 31 mother, and she's perfect, if you read through there. She's just a woman of women. You know, she's everything combined. And she can do all things, you know. And so much so that the dad, he doesn't do nothing but sit at the gate and horse around with his buddies. You know, she does everything else. She sells, buys, takes care of everything. When he wrote that, I want you to know that Bathsheba, his mother, was in heaven. See, Bathsheba never saw that. When Bathsheba was alive, he was horsing around, had all these thousand wives and concubines. He was having drunken parties. He was bringing circuses in. He was doing all the bad things that she told him not to do. She died when he was not even grown yet because he was still being an idiot. He's being stupid. He was sowing his oats at 40, 50 years old. And I imagine when she was on her deathbed, she said, oh, Manuel, or Limno, that was her pet name for him. Samuel, when are you ever going to grow up? Maybe, moms, you're here today. And you have kids, he said, you same way. When are they ever going to grow up and start doing right and get a real life and start doing right? It might not be until you're in heaven. Because you see, the other side of the coin is when Bathsheba didn't see this transformation of Solomon, until she was in heaven. Because the next chapter, next book, Ecclesiastes, he became a preacher. He turned a corner finally. He became a man of God. And he put all that foolishness aside. When do you quit sacrificially giving? Maybe when you get to heaven, it'll stop. But moms are like that. Dads, you know, that's it. He's dead to me. You ever heard that? That's like an Italian thing. He's dead to me. And dads can pretty much walk away from that. Moms, they're always like, but. And the dads are going, but what? They've taken everything from us. Yeah, but I love them. Why is that? Because from conception. Sacrificial. Awesome. Only if we. That's Jesus, man. That's all about Jesus, sacrificial giving, isn't it? And so I'm amazed at you all, women in general, especially moms, how you can sow, even though you've been hurt a plethora of times, still have that sacrificial giving. And so, in light of our text, we have two more life lessons. life questions, rather. How much are we willing to sacrifice for the Lord? Just how much are we? Is there anything that we might hold back that we wouldn't sacrifice to the Lord? Do we have a generous spirit like this woman had? And like most, if not all, moms. Do we have a generous spirit like this woman had? Well, number three, if you're taking notes, the third act of a woman is an act of kindness to others. Kindness to others. Wow, that's a no-brainer. I think they start with their kids, right? Of course. They're in school, right? They birth them. And then, God forbid, if they have colic, if you want to really curse a family, just ask God to give that baby colic. Moms, you know what I'm talking about, right? They just cry all night. They cry all day. The kids can't get enough food in them. They're just cranky. This too shall pass. I've had some moms, wow, man, just the brink of tears. Actually, the dads come. They start complaining. I'm going, are you kidding me? Get away from me. You know, the moms are the ones we need to pray for. And so, wow, kindness to others. Well, let's look at verse 36, acts of kindness to others. It starts with the kids, and then it grows out of that. And that would be found in Acts, again, 9. Let me turn there. Chapter 9, starting in verse 36. At Joppa, that's a city, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. She was kind to others. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. They got her ready for burial. And since Lydda, that's another town, was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. So you get the gist. This lady that's very kind to others, she passes. The town starts to freak out. And you go, oh, wait a minute, listen. At least the family of God there, the church there, say, oh, listen, Peter's not far away. Go get Peter. Hurry and go get Peter. Are you starting to understand how much this woman meant to that community? Oh no, go get Peter. And if that wasn't enough, check this out. Then Peter arose and went with him. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room. And check this out. And all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. Are you kidding me? First they go get Peter because this lady was so important in their lives. And then when Peter comes, they show him all the stuff that she made for everyone. And probably everyone was going to probably go cold in the wintertime because she probably made all the blankets and all the different things for him. All the clothing. This shows me tremendously how important Dorcas was. But Peter put them all out, knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, rise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Now, do you think that Peter went, Tabitha, arise, like you see on TV, or maybe some Pentecostal churches? I don't know. Maybe he did. Or maybe he just simply said, Tabitha, could you get up? Let's get up. Jesus, in Jesus' name. At any rate, he doesn't tell us. But he said, rise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and the widows and everyone else, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa. And many believed in the Lord. So it was that he stayed there days in Joppa and at Simon the tanner. So as a result, are you catching the picture here? As a result of her being so kind to others, this didn't happen overnight, folks. She was kind to others for many, many, many years. And then what happens? When they found out she was alive, everyone rejoiced. Imagine they had a huge party and coming to life party. Wouldn't that be cool? But that's what happened. Wonderful. Dorcas, you see, folks, was a woman who was full of compassion for the widows and the poor. She used her abilities to make coats and garments for those in need. In fact, as we read, the widows wept when Dorcas died. The men sent for Peter. Man, we can't do without this lady who came and raised her to life again. I have found that the active moms and women of this church are irreplaceable. They just are. If they know that there's a need in the body, they're all over it. That's why it's important to let us know. It's like sometimes I don't even know how they know. There's a secret communication between them or something. But they said that when the ladies here at this church, when they know there's a need, they're all over it, man. Moms are like that. Always exemplifying kindness, not only their families, but also in the family of God, in their church family. Why, this church here, and some of you might have been a beneficiary of it, the Mercy Meals. We have Mercy Meals here. And we've had it for 16 years. And as far as I know, there hasn't been one man ever join that ministry. It's always been women. Because they're kind. They know exclusively care exclusively women. Now, I understand if the men start cooking, the ministry would go belly up. Because most of the time, you ladies are fantastic cooks. Now, I do know, but I know she gets on the phone and she tells me. All the ladies she calls, and they're always, you know, like ready to step in and ready to cook, you know. And I know that, you know, David cooks as well. He's a very good cook. They're both very good cooks, by the way. But you see, it's something that they're doing. They're Dorcases. They're kind to others. Now, I believe we all need to learn from godly women and moms concerning acts of kindness to others. And of course, the two questions I have for our regarding this text, our life questions are, are we aware of the needs of others around us? And we just walk in, walk out. We don't have any idea of who needs what. And look, single moms, ladies, if you need something, please let us know. There's a single mom just let me know there's a need, and we're going to take care of it. Just today, she let me know. I didn't know. Actually, I didn't know until I came out of Food Line and happened to see her. And we were talking back and forth. But so please let us know, because guys, us guys, we're pretty much bubbleheads, hammer brains, you know, we don't know. We have to be told. And so please let us know if there's any needs. Are we willing to use our talents and abilities to be a help to others? Are we able to do that? Are we able to do that? I want to take a second here and go out on a limb and tell you that if you're a single mom here today, or a widower, or you just have a need of having your lawn cut, mowed. We've already got a couple people in the list. Just let us know. We have a good mower to do that. We have a couple people that would like to do that. And so please, give us a call. We already have a couple people on the list. I think it's just a great thing. Number four, if you're taking notes, a woman's act of serving others. A woman's act of serving others. We find that in Romans 16. We'll start with verse 1. Paul, speaking to the Romans, says, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Centuria, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. Do you see these strong words from Paul? For indeed, she has been a helper of what? Many, and even of myself also. Wow. Way cool. Paul informs us, as well as the church in Rome, that Phoebe was a woman always willing to help others in the church in any way she could. She aided Paul, even, as a minister, as well as many, many other people. You see, Phoebe used her God-given operating gifts found in Romans 12. It's not happenstantial that Paul would be speaking about Phoebe in this way, especially right after, in chapter 12, he went through the operational gifts. You know the operational gifts, administration. If you guys have been here on Wednesday, all those Wednesdays, we went through every one of them. And many of you were, but it's the helps ministry. Administration. Different ministries, operational ministries. And so Phoebe used her God-given operating gifts found there in Romans 12 to advance and help the early church. Most commentaries suggest, because of the original wording there, it could have been administration, accounting even, organizing, or even writing, because many people back in those days couldn't write. She could have been fluent, as some commentaries say, in the Greek and the Hebrew of the day. But she had these God-given talents that she wanted to help the church with, to help others with. Nonetheless, she was a helper of many. I find women have great operational talents, but are just not recognized or utilized. They're just not. In the world, especially in the world, but especially in the church, many times. I find women have great loyalty traits in the church and at their jobs. I tell you what, mom sure used them, the operational gifts that what I'm speaking of, and they use them all, don't they? In fact, the more children you have, the more you utilize, amen? Every one of them. Especially that discernment one. When little Johnny's lying to you, you're like, you're lying to me. How's mom know that you're lying to me? My mother knew everything. She had a direct line to God. I knew she did. My brother and I both. We would be lying to her. We knew there's no way she could tell. And she would come right back and say, not only do I know you've been smoking cigars, but I know where you hide them. What? Are you kidding me? You see, later in life, she told us, we slept downstairs in our house in the basement, and there was a vent that went directly to her bedroom. And she, when we were down there, she'd get to the, and she would listen to that vent, and she'd listen to every single conversation my brother and I had. So she knew. But moms know, don't they? They really do. And they need all those administration gifts, the organization gifts, the administration skills. And the more kids, the more children they have, including the big kid, their spouse, the more we need, the more you guys need and utilize. My sister has 8 children. 8 children. 1 girl. 7 boys. We were talking about this the other day. She said that she uses all the gifts, always, every day. She's up before everyone. She goes to bed after everyone's in bed. She could work for the Fortune 100 companies easily. They should hire her. Yeah, I believe the war on women nowadays is the fact that our nation doesn't honor and esteem working moms, stay-home moms, homeschool moms, in general, moms. I think there should be a separate identity of some kind of financial something that they should give moms. If you're a mom, you get some money, period. And if you stay a mom and raise your kids, they should get money. I'm just saying. But the world doesn't think like this book tells us to think. In general, moms. Maybe I should bring that up in this coming election, that all moms need, like, I don't know, what do you think, Mom? 50 grand a year? That'd be all right, huh? To raise the next generation. Well, number five, the last one for today, a woman's act, finally, of serving God. We have found that story, again, Luke 2, and we'll begin in 36. Luke 2, chapter 2, verse 36. Now, there was one called Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Wow. Can you say old? I look at this story. I'm amazed. In our story, Anna was a woman who spent her widowhood and her retirement fasting, praying, and telling all who would listen about Jesus. Did you catch that, ladies? It doesn't stop when you retire. When you get that AAAAP card that I cut up in millions of pieces, I'm not old yet. What do they send me that card for? Many of you get that, right? Like, they used to send those cards out when you're like 60. Now they send them out when you're 55. I'm thinking next they're going to send them out when you're 50. Like, what are these people talking about? There's no way I'm old, AAP. But this girl had several of them. She was old. She was retired. But did she give up? Of course not. Of course not. She spent her latter years on this earth fasting, praying, and telling all who would listen to Jesus about Jesus. Even in her senior years, she continued to serve family and serve faithfully. You know, I think when you get that age, you pretty much can tell anyone, even President Putin, about Jesus and get away with it. Who's going to mess with an elderly woman? I think that would be the prime. No one's going to tell you to go away. You're elderly. They're going to sit there and listen to you. And so if you're elderly and you're retired, don't give up. Pedal to the metal, man. When you see someone, just light into them about Jesus. Now do it nicely, please. And they got to listen to you. They're not going to walk away from you. Because that would be rude. They walk away from me. Not from me, guys. You're a lady and you're elderly. And so, even in this, in Anna's senior years, she continued to serve. Hey, gals, are you retired? or a senior, you know you never, never retire from serving God. Never. Your family, God's family. In fact, I would suggest that you continue. I know some of us, some ladies that are elderly, their families are like, they never call. It's a shame. Don't call your mom on Mother's Day or go see her or whatever. But some families are like that. They're not Christians. I imagine they couldn't be, or they need to be give them a talking to. Jesus needs to speak to them a bit. But, you know, wow. But you have a God family. In fact, we are developing a ministry, long time coming, just for retirement and seniors. And guess who suggested this ministry? A retiree. Came into my office, wrote me a little letter, and just threatened me to end my life. And we decided to start something. You know, it's in the planning stages, but very shortly and soon we'll be launching that ministry out. And so if you're a retiree or you have retired or whatever, just give us a call here if you want to get involved with it. So our text tells us no matter how old moms or any other women, like Anna, can continue to serve God, until their last breath. And the last two questions I have here for today is, do we spend enough time fasting, praying, and witnessing to others? Number two, are we looking for ways to reduce our service? Thinking we are too old, too decrepit, to have done enough already, maybe, that we've done our share in our time. It's usually people, I know I do, if an elderly man or elderly lady speaks into my life, I listen. They have experiential knowledge. I don't want to go over and sink and bump into the same pothole that they had. I like to avert that. I like to go, okay, talk to me. I want you in my life. I want to soak everything into me so I won't have to go through the things that you went through. That should be our attitude. So what shall we say to these acts of love, acts of sacrificial living, acts of kindness to others, acts of serving others, and finally, acts of serving God? Well, just this. Despite what Hollywood says, despite what the world says, a woman's highest calling is to be a godly woman, wife, and mother. And as long as they shall live. Along with that, we can see many examples in Scripture of women who have been faithful to the Lord in many areas of their life. And so they should serve as a challenge today to us and pattern for us a model our own actions, to model our own actions after their example. To think about those questions that we have asked today. And finally, let us be truly grateful for and salute all that the women in our lives do for us and for their faithful service of the Lord. And you know what? Let them know today and every day by word and, guys, by deed. Get out there and cut that grass. God bless you.
That concludes our study for today. Please join us next time as Pastor Ben continues to teach us verse by verse through the whole Word of God and shows us how God's Word applies to our lives today. For more information about our Cutting Edge Radio Ministry or Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills, you can call us at 910-684-5296 or write to us at P.O. Box 102, Aberdeen, North Carolina, 28315. You can also visit us online at calvarychapelsandhills.com. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you as you seek to know Him more.